That was all right, if that was the way he wanted to play it. Willie sat back on the bar stool and ordered another beer. He'd get his money, one way or the other. Sooner or later, Ed would have to leave, and then it would be his turn.
Willie still wasn't answering his phone. Randy hung up the payphone and frowned. He didn't have an answering machine either, not Willie Flambeau. That would be too sensible. She knew she shouldn't worry. The hounds of hell don't punch time clocks, as he'd told her more than once. He was probably out running down some deadbeat. She'd try again when she got home. If he still didn't answer, then she'd start to worry. The automat was almost empty. Her heels made hollow clicks on the old linoleum as she walked back to her booth and sat down. Her coffee had gone cold. She looked idly out the window. The digital clock on the State National Bank said 8:13. Randy decided to give him 10 more minutes. The red vinyl of the booth was old and cracking, but she felt strangely comfortable here, sipping her cold coffee and staring off at the iron spire across the square. The automat had been her favorite restaurant when she was a little girl. Every year on her birthday, she would demand a movie at the castle and dinner at the automat, and every year her father would laugh and oblige. She loved to put the nickels in the coin slots and make the windows pop open and fill her father's cup out of the old brass coffee machine with all its knobs and levers. Sometimes you could see disembodied hands through the glass, sticking a sandwich or a piece of pie into one of the slots, like something from an old horror movie. You never saw any people working at the automat, just hands. The hands of people who hadn't paid their bills, her father once told her, teasing. That gave her the shivers, but somehow made her annual visits even more delicious in a creepy kind of way. The truth, when she learned it, was much less interesting. Of course, that was true of most everything in life. These days, the automat was always empty, which made Randy wonder how the floor could possibly stay so filthy, and you had to put quarters into the coin slots beside the little windows instead of nickels. But the banana cream pie was still the best she'd ever had. And the coffee that came out of those worn brass spigots was better than anything she'd ever brewed at home. She was thinking of getting a fresh cup when the door opened and Rogoff finally came in out of the rain. He wore a heavy wool coat. His hair was wet. Randy looked out at the clock as he approached the booth. It said 8:17. "You're late," she said. "I'm a slow reader," he said. He excused himself and went to get some food. Randy watched him as he fed dollar bills into the change machine. He wasn't bad-looking if you liked the type, she decided. But the type was definitely cop. Rogoff returned with a cup of coffee, the hot beef sandwich with mashed potatoes, gravy, and overcooked carrots, and a big slice of apple pie. "The banana cream is better," Randy told him as he slid in opposite her. "I like apple," he said, shaking out a paper napkin. "Did you bring the coroner's report?" "In my pocket." He started cutting up the sandwich. He was very methodical, slicing the whole thing into small, bite-sized portions before he took his first taste. "I'm sorry about your father." "So was I. It was a long time ago. Can I see the report?" "Maybe. Tell me something I don't already know about Roy Helander." Randy sat back. We were kids together. He was older, but he'd been left back a couple of times. Till he wound up in my class. He was a bad kid from the wrong side of the tracks, and I was a cop's daughter, so we didn't have much in common, until his little sister disappeared. He was with her, Rogoff said. Yes, he was. No one disputed that, least of all Roy. He was 15, she was 8, they were walking the tracks. They went off together, and Roy came back alone. He had blood on his dungarees and all over his hands, his sister's blood. Three kids had already vanished. Jesse Helander made four. The way most people looked at it, Roy was always a little strange. He was solitary, inarticulate, used to hook school and run off to some secret hideout he had in the woods. He liked to play with the younger kids instead of boys his own age. A degenerate from a bad family. A child molester who had actually raped and killed his own sister. That's what they said. They gave him all kinds of tests, decided he was deeply disturbed, and sent him away to some kind of kiddie snake pit. He was still a juvenile, after all. Case closed. And the city breathed easier. "If you don't have any more than that,"